Hallelujah. 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 Our victory is in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. God is so good. And He is so powerful. Sit down if you can, because I got a word from the Lord I want to share with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about what is the value of a human life. Matthew 16 and 26 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Father, I am nothing, but I thank you for the anointing in this place. And I just declare your will to be done in our hearts through the ministry of your word. Amen. 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 Scientists, legislators, and even criminals have been trying to answer that question. What is the value of a human life? If you look at the pure elements of the human body, scientists say we're worth about $1. Doesn't sound very good, does it? If we look at the value of our organs, on the black market, the human body can be harvested for around $850,000. Sounds a little better. I've often told my wife, I may be worth more to you dead than alive, because I have just a little small insurance policy. But the truth is, on the black market, organs are worth a lot of money. They're worth more in the United States than they are in China or in India or in Africa. As an example, the going rate for a kidney in the United States is $262,000 on the black market. In China, it's only worth $62,000, and in India, it's only worth $15,000. I'm glad I wasn't born in India. How do you come up with that? The value of an organ is based upon economics, purchasing power, and supply and demand. While a kidney is valued at $262,000 in the United States, a heart is only valued at $119,000. Kidneys are worth more than twice what hearts are worth, which seems a little odd, doesn't it? Even the liver is worth more than the heart. It's worth $157,000 on the black market. You say, why? Because there's a greater demand for kidneys and livers than for hearts. In the United States in 2012, there were 113,000 people waiting for organ transplants. There were only 14,144 donations. Every day in the United States, 18 people die who are on a waiting list for an organ transplant. Supply and demand sets the value on the black market. Legislators and regulators and judges have been all over the economic scale when it comes to the value of a human life. According to Frank Partnoy, in his published quote, "Wait, the Art and Science of Delay," says when the U.S. government changed the speed limit in 1987 from 55 to 65, which, by the way, I was so glad they did, because I was living in Colorado back then, and a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit meant it took me about 28 to 30 hours to drive home from Colorado to Ohio. But their study suggested the value of a human life was about $1.5 million. As of 2011, the U.S. Office of Management and Budget puts the value at between $7 to $9 million. Turn to someone and say, you're worth more than you thought. The Department of Transportation says you're only worth $6 million. The Food and Drug Administration says you're worth about $7 to $9 million. If you wonder why the EPA is so expensive, the Environmental Protection Agency sets the value of a human life at $9.1 million so they can really zap you with fees. $7 million, $8 million, $9 million. As Christians, we value life not only in physical terms, but also in spiritual terms. We view the body as a house. Amen? It's just a house that we live in while in this world. Now, that makes the body extremely important because we like to live in houses. However, we view life with a soulish and spiritual realm as well. God created us to be eternal beings from conception. It was never His will that any of us die. Think about that for a moment. The value of life cannot be limited to the sum total of its parts. We are worth far more than that. Jesus said, as I read in my very short one-verse text, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I like the New Living Translation of that. It says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Anybody care to answer that question? No. Why not? Because in this world, we're going to be around for 70, 80 years, maybe 90 years, maybe 100 years. But we're going to move out of this house one day, and we're going to keep on living somewhere for eternity. So if you took all the wealth of the entire world, it doesn't add up to the worth of one human soul. It is clear that on Calvary, God values the human soul or the human life more than He does the entire world. And He certainly values it more than the body, because He said, if you're having trouble with your body, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know, you'd be better to go into eternity maimed than to be lost. The soul is worth far more than the body can ever be worth. Christ died on the cross to redeem us. It took the very best that heaven had. He came from a world where the streets are paved with gold, and the gates are pearls, and the foundations all kinds of what we would call precious metals. But He was the best thing that heaven had to offer, and God gave His very best to save us, because we were worth more to God than the entire world that we see around us. God values us above the heavens and the earth, because one day they're going to pass away, but you and I are going to be somewhere for eternity. Somebody say amen. We who live in Christ, we'll live to see the new heavens and the new earth that He will prepare for His most valuable possession, which is you and I. We are all valuable to God. Not one life is insignificant. Can I say that again? We are all valuable to God. Not one life is insignificant. Sometimes we listen to the news and we hear of murder and mayhem and war and violence. And if it doesn't touch our family or our friends, we act like it's no big deal. But every one of those lives are of eternal value to God. We kill babies for the sake of convenience, not realizing they're worth more than everything this world has to offer. The devil will tell you that God doesn't exist or that He doesn't care about you, but he is the great whisperer, the great slanderer, the great liar. I doubt that I'm the only one that has heard the devil say, your life doesn't matter. Nobody cares about you. You're not worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never really do anything. Because he whispers that all the time to everyone. If you haven't heard those whispers, then I'm glad you've been busy enough not to entertain them. But most of us at one time or another in our life have heard those words. In fact, sometimes we've tried to prove that they're correct. Self-fulfilling prophecy. You're worth nothing, so we act like we're worth nothing. When Jesus said, you're worth everything to me. I've heard all of my life people preach, people teach, people sing, that if they had been the only one, Jesus would have come and died on the cross for them. Any of you ever heard anyone talk like that before? Yeah. If you were the only one, he would have come and died for you. Now, we know that there's millions in the kingdom of God. And I don't know that we have any way of really tracking how many have already gone to be with the Lord. But that thought just kept ringing through my mind. If you were the only one, if you were the only one. I've heard it all of my life, but I don't think that we really believe that. In fact, sometimes even within the body of Christ, we feel like other people are significant, but we're not significant. Maybe people have a title. Maybe they have a name. Maybe they have connections. But not me. I have no significance. That's the whisper. That's the liar. What do you mean you're insignificant? Jesus died for you. I do believe, as selfish as it may sound, that if I was the only one, he would have died for me. Because I believe he loves me that much. He not only loved the entire world, he loved me. He died for the entire world, but he died for me. And how can my life be significant or insignificant if Jesus loved me enough to die for me? And if we can ever get that through our thick skulls, if we can ever understand that, if we can ever realize how precious, how important we are to God. And sometimes we think because God doesn't give us everything we want, he doesn't love us. Well, my kids will tell you that I didn't give them everything they wanted, but I love them. And my wife can tell you I can't afford to give her everything I'd like to even be able to give her, but I love her. And we diminish our value because we look at our lives sometimes and we think it doesn't really, we haven't really made a significant difference in the world. Well, the fact that you have or have not made significance does not change the fact that God loves you more than he loves himself because he gave himself on the cross for you. We are valuable to God. He suffered and paid the price of my sin because he would rather die than to live without me. Hello? He decided to die rather than to just let me be lost for eternity. And he did that for you as well. He didn't do that for me because of the family I came from. He did that for me because he created me. He knew me in my mother's womb. He knew me before I ever drew my first breath. And he knew you in that way as well. He had a plan for your life before you ever cried out when the doctor smacked your rear end. He already had a plan. You were already precious. You know, we get so emotional when we see our children come into this world. Because there may be a lot of babies born, but mine is significant to me. But don't you get that we're all the children of God? We may be obedient children or we may be disobedient children, but we're still his creation. He loves us. And there's not a one of us who comes into this world insignificant. Hallelujah. I alone am of greater value than the entire world according to Jesus. Because if I gained the entire world and lost my soul, I would have nothing. what compares with the worth of a human life, of a human soul? We are valuable to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be prideful. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, the Bible says, when God called us, he didn't call us because of our wisdom, because of our might, or because of our nobility, but because he chose us. And through Christ, he grants unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If you're righteous, if you're sanctified, and if you're redeemed, it's not because you're worthy. You're only worthy because he chose you. And he gave you those gifts. Because he loves you. Now, if we believe that Jesus would have come and died just for us, anyone believe that besides me? Anyone here believe that Jesus would have died just for you? Oh, quite a few hands went up. Good. Because if we believe Jesus would have come and died for just us, then we must also believe that he would have done the same thing for everyone else. Jesus didn't just die for those on their way to heaven. He died for those on their way to hell. If he would have died just for me, he would have died just for you. He would have died for your son and daughter, for your husband and wife, for your neighbors, for your employees and employer. If Jesus would have died for just one, then he would have died for everyone, because he created all of us the same. Oh, we have different gifts. And sometimes those gifts cause us to value some above others in this world. But as eternal souls, we are all created in the image of God. So if he values me, he values you. I said if he values me, he values you. So, well, of course. Well, it's easy to say, of course. It's a different thing to say, yeah, that's right. But then we got to stop and think about how we treat each other. Because if he values you as much as he values me, then I also need to see value in you. Hello? Yeah. He values every one of us. And it's important that we understand that, but it's even more important that we learn how to demonstrate that. Galatians says, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. I shared that with you under the picnic pavilion last week. You want to be free? We're never free until we learn how to love people as God loves them. How we express our faith in God through our love for one another. What really matters to God is our faith in Christ allowing us to express our love for one another. Why? Because he values my neighbor as much as he values me. That's why he said, I am to love my neighbor as myself. In Philippians, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Wow, I don't think that's on the top 10 list of quotes. Because that's troublesome. We don't have to learn how to love ourselves. Actually, we learn how to not love ourselves, if anything. But learning how to love others as ourselves is a problem. Number one, because we have a selfish, endemic nature, we have to overcome. And number two, some of us have listened to the whisper to the point that we don't love ourselves. And if you don't have any respect for your life, then you're probably not going to have a whole lot of respect for anyone else's either. Hey? Oh, I had to beg for it, but I got a couple amens. But that's the truth. If we don't value who we are, we're not going to value who anyone else is. Loving people does not mean disrespecting yourself. It simply means preferring them as a demonstration of your acceptance of their value. It is establishing the importance of us valuing each other. 100 years of evolutionary lies has brought our society to a place where Americans kill Americans for any or no reason whatsoever. We kill over tennis shoes. We kill over jackets. We kill out of inconvenience. Some people go around just killing out of boredom. Can you believe that? Yeah. I don't know why I did it. Just didn't have anything else to do. So just went out looking for someone to shoot or knife or run over. Many Americans only value people they can manipulate and control for their own selfish interests and care little about anyone else. 2 weeks ago, a doctor enters a hospital in the Bronx area of New York. You probably heard it on the news. A doctor goes in and shoots 7 people before taking his own life. A man who was educated and commissioned to help save the lives of others. Thought so little of human life that he shot 7 other people before shooting himself. He killed a female doctor who, unless they found something since then, they said, we don't have any reason why he killed her. We knew he was angry because he had got fired from his job. Imagine spending 8 to 12 years of your life preparing for the job of saving people, and then when you lose the job, you just take out a gun and start shooting people. How valuable was the human lives he was operating on when he had a job that he thought so little of human lives that he would indiscriminately take them and wound and maim others? As horrible as this is, and let me put up the warning, some of you may be offended about what I'm about to say, but as horrible as that is, we spend much of our time in the church preparing people how to minister to others, and then what I often see is people turn around shooting each other in the church. Now, it may be metaphorical, they're not shooting guns, but they are definitely wounding each other and beating each other up and tearing each other apart. And just like that doctor, it does not make any sense to know that we were unworthy of God's love, but he chose to love us. To know we were unworthy to be a part of his kingdom, but he chose to bring us into his kingdom, to call us into his kingdom. Knowing we're unworthy to even represent him, and yet he chose to represent him. He didn't bring a legion of angels to preach the gospel. He called you and me to preach the gospel. Broken vessels. And if we don't understand the value of relationships, then we've lost the understanding of the value of a human life. How can we convince others that they are valuable if we don't value our own lives, or we don't value the lives of those around us? God doesn't call us to enable people to live lives of sin. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes I think those of us that were raised in church or have been in church for a long time, you know, just get to thinking that maybe we're a little more special than everyone else. That is what keeps us. Somebody answer that phone. It may be a call for help. sometimes we're our own worst enemy. When we're trying to reach out to someone who's lost, but our actions prove that we only want them to be saved if they're not going to be any trouble. That our work ends here. It doesn't end there. Much of it just begins there. It is harvest time in America. And I can guarantee you, every one of you know people that are hurting, that are wounded, that are beat up, that have been listening to the whisper, the slander, that wants you to reject your life and the lives of others. When God has called us to be the light that leads people to Him, how valuable is a human life? For some reason, they become more valuable after they die. Because I've been to a lot of funerals where people talked about how wonderful people were. But before they died, they wouldn't visit them in the hospital. They wouldn't pray for them. They wouldn't go help them. But we're going to miss them. Jesus is challenging us this morning to recognize how valuable we are to Him, but also how valuable everyone else we know is to Him. And if we could learn to be responsible in our relationships. Oh, you don't know what people have done to me. No, I don't. Man, there's some pretty screwed up people in this world that have come to Jesus. And some of us just have a hard time believing that that is even possible. You know, I read the other day Alice Cooper got saved. I don't know if that's true or not. He said, I had to change my whole act. He said, because half the stuff I wrote was garbage. Well, that sounded good. But I tell you what, he's valuable to God. There have been a number of mass murders and rapists that have come to Christ while on death row. And some people would say, well, if they're going to make it to heaven, I don't want to be there. Well, with that attitude, you don't have to worry about it. It's the truth. I literally had people in my church in Colorado because I showed a video about a mass murderer who got saved and gave his testimony. I literally had people say, well, I don't want to go to heaven if he's going to be there. He murdered 20-some women. I said, yeah, he did. And that's horrible. Horrible. Disgusting. But his last testimony, his final testimony was, I deserve to die because of what I've done. But I'm so glad that Jesus forgave me. And he said, I know that the people I've hurt may never forgive me, but I am glad to know that Jesus has forgiven me. This wasn't a man faking religion so he could get out of jail. He's saying, they're going to kill me in the next 3 hours. And that's all right. Because I know in whom I have believed. We can't just love people that appeal to us. Easy to love people that appeal to us. But God wants us to love everyone because they're all valuable to Him. I believe it would change the way we drive if we loved our neighbor as ourselves and preferred our brother and sister. I think it would affect how we eat. I think it would affect how we fellowship. I think it would affect how we speak to people and how we speak about people. Somehow we have to get it through our head. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. But he doesn't just love me. He loves us all. And he said some of our forgiveness is based upon our willingness to forgive each other. Think about that one. If you value your life, you better value somebody else's. Because we're tied. We're tied together. We won't always agree. But we better always love. And not just with words, but in deeds. Because everyone you know, God loves just as much as he loves you. And he does love you. More than I think we'll ever be able to understand. He loves us. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I know we've already had a great season of prayer. And but I know the Holy Spirit is here. And I know how you're dealing with my heart. And I believe with the hearts of others. God, we can't just tell people we love them and then have nothing to do with them. We can't tell people we love them and then fail to forgive them. We cannot say that we love you and not love our brother because you said that's a lie. God, heal our broken hearts so that we can love again. Not just those that we choose to love, but those you choose to love. And that takes a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But that's what will bring the last day revival and harvest to America. I don't know how much time we have left in this world, but we must redeem the time because the days are evil. And the world is full of people who are genuinely seeking for someone to love them. And the whisper has convinced many of them that's not you, but you've called us to represent you. As surely, Jesus, as you are the mediator between God and men, you've also called us to mediate, to be ministers of reconciliation, to help bring people back to you. And we can only do that when we value them as we value ourselves. God, change our hearts. Heal our hearts so that the love of God can be shed abroad through our hearts to the world around us. You never rejoice over the death of the wicked. God, this is a new covenant that we are living under. And we are called to love one another.